Next up is Inside Finance. Inside Finance is a special feature of this program every week where we discuss in depth the financial and economic challenges of our time and explore possible solutions. Here is your host this week, Stanford Simon.
It's a good day to Grenada, Conakry, Pitiwan, the rest of the Eastern Caribbean, wherever you are. I am Boston Stanford Simon. It's a joy and a pleasure to be with you once again. And as you know, this is Inside Finance, and we always have something very interesting to talk about and to give you information that would help you be a better person, understand what is happening within the Ministry of Finance. Today, we will be talking about Imani. And I know all that jump up on Imani program and say all kind of thing about Imani. Yeah, but we're going to talk about the facts. What are the realities? You hear a lot about Imani and what people say and who working and who getting paid and who walking away and who sitting home and all kind of stuff. Yeah, all them stuff. But today, we're having a good, firm discussion with Mr. Kevin Andel. He's a permanent secretary, Ministry of Youth and Sport. He's within the Ministry of Youth and Sport, and we will be talking to him about the Imani program. I am Stanford Simon. We take a word from our sponsor. We come right back, and we continue the discussion here with Mr. Kevin Andel, permanent secretary, Ministry of Youth and Sports.
Come with your dream to the Grenada Development Bank, and we will find a way to finance it. Whether you want to start a business or refinance an existing project, whether you want a mortgage for house or land, or a loan for a vehicle, or your educational advancement, we have a special to finance your energy conservation overhaul for your home or office. They all come with the lowest interest rates. At the GDB, the People of Grenada Bank, we encourage ideas and we finance dreams. Come into us because the future is yours. The Grenada Development Bank. Empower, transform.
Welcome back, folks. Good to have you, and good to have Mr. Kevin Andel with me, permanent secretary in the Ministry of Youth and Sport. Welcome to Inside Finance.
Thank you for having me, because it's very important to be here today, to be able to be part of this very, very informative program, Inside Finance.
Yeah, really. And this is your first visit here.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Well, it's good to have you with me, and I'm looking forward to talking about this Imani program, because it has been so much discussion and quarrel and fight over this, and I am sure that you have gotten your share when it comes to that.
Yes, indeed. I've gotten my share of blows, but I can say that, you know, understanding the Imani program and being able to design the program, you know, I had the privilege to work with some very talented people to design the program.
So you actually helped design the Imani program?
Definitely.
So we're talking to the source.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Good. So long you've been working with the Imani program?
Well, I started in the Ministry of Youth and Sports in 2009. So I worked on the Grenada Youth Upliftment Program. That is the program before that, the
yes.
new Imani program. And then when the change of government came in, a talented group of people, we sat down and looked at the program, the different programs, which was designed to deal with the high unemployment among young people,
right,
and to create a platform to really make our young people employable. And the drive came when we looked at the labor market survey and other reports in regards to unemployment in Grenada. We found that one of the major problems facing young people accessing employment opportunities is that they just didn't possess the requisite skill.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about soft skill as well as the hard skill, the real skill. And we noticed that there was a gap between what the demands of the labor market and what the young people had possessed. So we sat and we decided that we would try to bridge the gap. Mm-hmm. One, provide the young people with the soft skills, and two, to provide them with the demand-driven skills, the skills that are needed by the economic sector so that they can access employment opportunities.
So it's out of that situation emerge the Imani program.
Out of that situation emerged the new Imani program. But just permit me to say that the programs before, the first Imani as well as the Grenada Youth Upliftment Program, looked at that also. Mm-hmm. But the new Imani program looked at a new dimension. Not only providing the hard skills that we did before, but we decided to look at how we can incorporate the soft skills. Because a lot of employers within the labor market survey clearly stated that some of the young people had the hard skills. What they did not have
the soft skills.
Is a soft skill.
When you say soft skills, some people may be wondering what that is. Explain.
We're talking about the right attitude. Mm-hmm. The aptitude to work. Mm-hmm. To give an honest day's work or honest day's pay, conflict resolution on the job, understanding who they are and really exhibiting self-confidence and innovation.
Right, are that part of the way they dress, the dress code?
Where they dress, the way they speak. Right. We had complaints with young people on the job that would be, you come there on the front desk and their head would be in the phone. They would respond to you in a particular way, what do you want? Instead of exhibiting what is needed on the front.
So explain to us, what is the Imani program? What exactly is this Imani program?
The Imani program is a program designed to provide the necessary skills for young people to access employment.
Mm-hmm.
The program, as I said before, was really designed to deal with these priorities. Make the young people employable, develop their self-confidence, create opportunities so that they can start their own small business. But really the main focus is wealth creation. How can I, as a young people, create wealth and take care of my family? And the program has many components. The program has, first and foremost, every Imani trainee applies for the program.
Mm-hmm.
And it's open to everybody. There is no barrier in regards to education or educational status.
Age. What's the age limit?
Age is 18 mm-hmm. to 35. And they apply. Then there's this rigorous selection process. We'll go through the applications, but we look at the skills that are available,
mm-hmm.
How important or demand-driven that skill is, and we select persons based on that. So, for instance, if somebody applied to be trained in aerodynamics, we don't offer that training in Grenada. So, somebody that applies for general cosmetology, that's beautician and so forth, would be given that preference. With that selection process comes orientation. And then after that, every Imani trainee, after orientation, goes through life skills.
Okay.
For 3 months. 3 months of life skills. During life skills, they are exposed to a range of topics. Myself and I, how do I handle conflict, and all of these soft skills. Then after the 3 months, every Imani trainee is asked to prepare a plan, a career plan, and decide where they would like to go. And coming out of this, there are different pathways an Imani trainee can follow. If an Imani trainee would like to acquire skills, never had skill training before, never did any skill training, but they would like to do a particular skill, they're going to the component called the direct skills component.
Mm-hmm.
That is, they would learn skill on the job.
Oh.
Not on the job, in the classroom.
Okay.
If a trainee already has training in a particular skill, but there is a need for on-the-job experience so that they can apply that skill, they would go into what we call the apprenticeship component.
Mm-hmm.
If a trainee already have the direct skills, did apprenticeship, but all they want to do is start their own small business. They would go into the component called the small business component. So there are three pathways that a Imani trainee after life skills can go into.
So is that part of the structure, you would
yes,
say?
Yes, part of the structure.
So explain to us how the structure of Imani in its entirety.
Okay. The structure of the Imani is the Imani program is structured based on components.
Mm.
We have four components.
Mm.
The direct skill component, the apprenticeship component, the small business component, and then we have the last component called the exit component.
Mm.
The exit component is really after graduation, how do we exit you? Mm-hmm. Into what field? Is it permanent employment? Is it further training? Is it cooperative style businesses? That is the final component. Every Imani trainee go through the specific component that they're targeted for at the end of life skills.
At what point do you give them remuneration, a stipend?
The stipend starts at life skills.
Life skill, that is
the first component. They get the stipend at every month.
How much is that stipend?
The stipend varies. The stipend varies based on their qualifications. Some persons who don't have any qualifications at all, they would start at 700. Then there are persons who have skill certification, but subjects, CXC, ranging from one CXC up to four, including maths or English, they will get 800. Persons who have five CXC or more, would have both English and mathematics, would get 900. Any person after that, associate degree, university degree, whatever, would get 1,000.
1,000. So why the Imani program? Why? Why are we having this program?
When we look at the data, almost the highest level of unemployment is among our young people.
And that's the age group between 18 and 35?
18 and 35.
Mm.
Highest unemployment is within that age. Now, if we allow these young people, or we don't provide the opportunities for these young people to be engaged, we would have serious social problems.
Yeah.
The Imani program just doesn't only affect one individual. Some of these young people, a matter of fact, almost 90% of our Imani trainees or recruits did not go past secondary school. They finished at secondary school, almost 90%. It is an indication that these young people need what we call second chance education in order to empower them. Because if we don't do that, the social ills stemming out of these young people not being able to go forward in their educational endeavor or in their employment endeavor would be serious.
So in the midst of all of this, when you look at how many years the program have been going on now?
Well, this year would be making us four and a half years.
And a half years.
Yeah, going on to 5 years.
Let me just inform our listeners, I'm speaking to Mr. Kevin Andel, who is the Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Youth and Sports, and we're talking about the Imani program. Now, if you were to look back in the past 4 years, what would you say are the major achievements of the program?
We can say that to date, we have engaged 3,000 plus young people in the Imani program. Batch one, we had 1,000, and we have them in batches. Batch two, we had 1,000. Batch three, we had 3,000. Batch four, we had 500. And batch five, we had 235. But during that period, a number of young people, one, exited the program due to permanent employment.
Okay.
We had over 350 plus permanent employment.
Permanent employment.
Permanent employment.
Wow. That's high.
That is good in a small economic space as ours. We also had a number of young people exiting, going abroad.
Mm-hmm.
And we had some people had to exit because of disciplinary issues. We have a serious disciplinary structure in place to deal with imams who are not adhering to the rules of the program. So in total, we had over 530-something persons either being employed, disciplinary issues exiting, or leaving for personal reasons to go abroad and so forth.
But the biggest of that group has been the person who has been permanently employed.
Both in the public service and in the private sector.
Mm.
And but we had much more in the public sector, especially among medium-sized businesses.
Right. So you're saying the major achievement is getting these young people permanently employed, and you're talking over 300 of them.
Yes. And also the next major achievement is that we have what we call the CARICOM Vocational Qualification, CVQ.
That's where persons can travel across the region?
Across the region and work.
And work. Mm.
We have had over 56% of our trainees either receiving a CVQ certificate or engage in CVQ classes now, and within the next few weeks would get a CVQ certificate.
Excellent. So even the folks that having many of the ravaged countries that are having problems with workers, some of them would be able to leave here and go there and work.
Some of them can do that based on what they're training and what areas they're training. We're talking about 1,500 plus young persons who were engaged in CVQ classes, received CVQ certificate, or in the process of receiving CVQ certificate.
And that's the CARICOM?
Yes, CARICOM Vocational Qualification.
The big issue, and I guess there have been a lot of discussion, but let me hear your thoughts first. What are the major challenges you have faced with the program? And what are some of the major challenges?
Some of the major challenges, as in all programs like ours, is the sheer size of the program and managing that program to make sure that all of the trainees are engaged in the way that they should be engaged. We had some disciplinary issues with trainees, and you know, we should not hide those things. There are some trainees, which is not the majority, I can tell you. Because if you look at the 1,500 persons who receive CVQs, telling you that the majority of the Imani trainees classes did what they have to do and they received the end product.
They fulfilled their duties.
But we have some who, like everything else, would like to, as we say in local Palang school.
They come for a line.
Yeah, don't go to classes. Exhibit a lot of bad behaviors. And, you know, some of these bad behaviors are emanating from how they grew up. And we have seen that some people took on the life skills greatly. They changed their lives. But some people continue down the same pathway. So disciplinary issue is one of our major challenges, dealing with some of those persons. But we have a structure in place, and we are adhering to that structure
to deal with it. Now, explain to me this. A number of persons have complained, and you hear it from persons on the radio when they're called, that a number of Imanis are home and they're getting pay. They're not going to classes, they're not involved, but when the month up, they go and pick up the check.
Good thing. One thing I like about Grenada is that we have everybody's look and examine and so forth. We have had a number of complaints which we have investigated, and we have found that in a few cases this was so, but also we have found that there are times when you hear people, and we have found that out, that person saying, oh, there is this trainee who is not on the job, but look, they are under Imani, they're receiving pay. And when we do investigate, some of those persons are on shift system. Some of them, you may see them during the day sitting on the block, but in the afternoon they go to their job site.
Right.
Some of them have classes, and based on how the classes are arranged, they may have a day where they don't go.
The structure of the class.
The structure of the classes. Some of them also might be awaiting placement, because based on where they are, and the skills that they acquire, it is difficult to get the requisite or the relevant placement for them. So the Imani Secretariat have to search and network to get those placements.
So when you're searching for the placement, are they still receiving a stipend?
There's a time frame.
There's a time frame. What the length of time?
The length of time is 21 days.
21 days, okay.
Within a month.
Right.
After 21 days, we'll call them in and the stipend would be deactivated.
Okay.
There are cases, however, on the verge of the 21 days, an employer would say, I need that person. And we send them. They have to go through the orientation and so forth and different things. But most of the time, we are diligent in making sure that persons don't stay too long out there and receiving stipend, and they don't supposed to.
Right. So when one get a placement from Imani to a company, does government continue to pay the stipend, or it stops when they get what you would say a permanent job, or if they get a place where they go on a period of time, they're on probation? Where do you start, where do you stop the stipend that government gives?
Once the company express interest in taking on that person permanently on a short-term basis, the stipend would be stopped. Because it will be the responsibility of the company to pay that salary.
That salary. Because I've heard it said that government pay part and the company pay part.
That is during the apprenticeship period.
Okay.
So if they're there as the apprentice, then government would pay part and the company would pay part. In some cases, government pay 100% based on the size of the business.
Because some struggling businesses will not be able to.
And we're not only looking at sharing costs or so forth, we're looking at making sure that the young people acquire the skill and the experience so that they can go on to be to participate effectively within the economic space. So there is a dual purpose here. Mm-hmm. There's a dual purpose for cost sharing with the private sector. But also we have that aspect of making sure that the young people receive the training in the best environment.
So here, my listeners, I'm speaking to Mr. Kevin Andel, who is the Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Youth and Sport. This Imani program has been a centerpiece of each government.
Each government.
That come through. Everyone criticized the other about the program. When you look at the program now, compare what it were 4 years, 8 years ago, how does it compare to the years that has passed and the development of the program? Because it has been a development stage to get to where you are.
And let me say that this program is much better than the programs before, because we have learned from the programs before. This program has been a, if you want to say, a hybrid. We have looked at the other programs and what we have done in the past, and we have looked at the shortcomings, lessons learned, and we have implemented things within this program to prevent those. And just by virtue of the CVQs, having that high level of CVQ attainment by our trainees is a great achievement that no other program in the past have achieved. In collaboration with the NTA, we have many businesses have stemmed out of the CVQ. We have service providers, a number of service providers without the Imani program, and program like ours would not be in business. We have a thriving competency-based training industry in Grenada, stemming out of the initiative of the Imani and the work of the National Training Agency. We have seen young people who started with zero qualification and have gone through the program, have gone through level 1 CVQ, level 2 CVQ, and have a level 3 CVQ, which is an equivalent to an associate degree.
Wow.
You're talking about persons who started with nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing. Young mothers who started with absolutely nothing, and young guys, and now have a level 3 CVQ that they can go out and find employment, which is equivalent to a level 3, equivalent to associate.
And you're saying with a CVQ, they can go across the region.
Across the region.
And work. And it will be accepted.
It will be accepted because it is a CARICOM vocational qualification, not Grenada.
at CARICOM.
CARICOM.
Vocational. The question of the political interest within the money, that is a big thing. Could you say anything on that? Because persons do that. That is a key point that people often raise. The politician use that as a bargaining chip and get the people work and pay them and then do nothing. That is a discussion. Or you run the program. What would you say about that?
I will say to you that I don't operate within the realms of politics. I'm a public servant. But I can say that the Grenadian youth over the years have benefited tremendously from programs like this.
Mm.
We have one of the biggest skills training programs in the Caribbean. We have other Caribbean countries coming to us so that we can teach them and share what we are doing. We have international bodies coming and study what we are doing in relationship to sustainable development goals. Because Iman is about goal one, sustainable eradication of poverty.
Right.
And they have been, the IMF have come in and look at what we're doing. There's a report on the Imani program done by the IMF. And I can say that the program has benefited the young people. You talk about 3,000 plus young people in the last 4.5 years benefiting from the Imani program.
So then you are saying, despite the intention of the politician, you doing your job.
I'm doing my job.
And you're ensuring that the young people get trained to be able to have a skill. Because, you know, as you rightly said, there are persons who came in with absolutely nothing and they walk away with an associate degree where they can go and work the CVQ anywhere within CARICOM.
And I'm telling you, that is what drives us in the ministry. That when we see these young people with the smiles on their faces, when they receive their CVQ certificate, or when they start the small business. We have over 70-something small businesses that we have financed.
Started out of
the Imani program. We have trained over 300 young people in small business development out of the Imani program. We have collaborated with many agencies like Ministry of Social Development and other agencies to deliver CVQs for marginalized girls and young men. We have a program in the Her Majesty's Prison called Project Reach, which offered CVQ to young prisoners, level 2 CVQ to young prisoners. We have trained over 50-something young prisoners, and we're looking to take on a batch of 30-something in 2018, young prisoners acquiring CVQs.
So when they come out of prison, you're saying that they have a skill, and they can go anywhere in the region. But how would you deal with it? They have committed a felony, they have been in prison. How do you deal with that if they're going to work in another country, if they get an opportunity?
We're talking about reconciliation. We're talking about, well, that word, there's a word they use in the prison term. What they call it, I forget the word, but we're changing lives. Some of these are young people who made a mistake.
20 years of age.
They need to have something so that they can become productive members of society. And we're partnering with CDB,
the Caribbean Development Bank. The Caribbean Development Bank.
Yeah, to implement a program in Mount Horn among young men in agriculture, which is over $175,000 US program with these young people.
Wow.
So we have Project Reach, we have Project ACE, we also have a project associated with the Imani program called Project Fly.
What's that?
Project Fly is fostering level-headed youth, focusing on providing skill training and soft skills to young people. Instead of bringing them into the Imani, we bring the skill to them in their communities.
Project.
We're doing that in St. Mark's, we're doing it in St. George here in Montu. We have one in Karaku. So there's a number of spin-offs from the Imani program, reaching a lot of young people.
Well, we're out of time.
Yes,
quickly,
yes,
I mean, really. You have to come back.
Definitely.
You need to come back to have a further discussion with me here. My listeners, I've been speaking to Mr. Kevin Andel, who is the Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Youth and Sports. We're talking about the Imani program. What is the program? What were the major achievements of the program, the challenges and where the Imani program is going. And you, as you rightly heard, it has made a lot of progress, and you have trained over, what, 1,500 persons?
That's in CVQ.
In CVQ.
And we have engaged 3,700 persons.
3,700 people. Congratulations to you.
Yes.
And your team at the ministry and the Ministry of Sports, what they have been doing, and please convey my greetings to them.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me.
All right, folks, thank you for being with me here today. I am Stanford Simon. This is Inside Finance. I want to wish you a great day. Join me here next week at the same time. Go to the website, sgbcgrenada.com, and the government website, Inside Finance, will be uploaded there, and you can listen to it at your leisure and pleasure. Thank you again, and special thanks to Mr. Kevin Andel, Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Youth and Sport. I'm Stanford Simon. Wish you a blessed and enjoyable day. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to another edition of Inside Finance, a program that explores the financial and economic challenges of our time. Join us next week for another edition.